We're going.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the March 2nd, 2020 meeting of the Ulster County Energy and Environment Committee. And I'd like to call the meeting to order and start with a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And everyone had a chance to look over the minutes of the February 3rd meeting. Any additions or corrections?
I'd make a motion that we accept them as ordered.
So moved. Did I hear a second? Mary?
Yes, Mary seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. And next we're going to update from UC Monterey.
Yeah. Is it okay to sit here or you want to sit up there? Or what would you like?
Wherever you're comfortable and everyone can hear.
Okay, I'll sit over here, please. Well, as far as update is concerned, not a lot is going on at this moment. As the solid waste management plan is in the hands of the DEC, they can take up to 120 days. They've probably had it for, I guess, 2 weeks now, maybe, something like that, week and a half. I don't think it's going to take that long for them to review. I hope not, because if this gets pushed off any further, we have things we have to get done this year, and things might not get done this year if it goes too far into the future. But they've been engaged all through the process, so I don't think there's going to be any comments that come back. If there aren't any comments, what will happen is it will come back with what they call an approvable letter, which means it's done as far as they're concerned, and at that point it would go to the legislature for ratification. If there are any changes, if they're minor, they can still come through with an approvable letter. If they're just minor, if there's any major changes, it's going to have to go back to the board for review and for approval again. So, but I don't expect that because this is not the first time we've seen it. So that's where we are with that.
Is it a public document now? Can we get copies of the public comments?
I guess I don't know. DEC is reviewing it. I don't know if that's considered draft or not. I have to check.
That's just been a couple people have wanted to see.
I can check on that. I can find out. I know once it's finalized, once they give the approval letter to the public, it becomes public at that point. I do know that. I'm not sure if it's considered draft at this point or not, but yeah, I can check on that for you. I may have mentioned to you last time I was here that we had purchased 75, over the past couple of years, we purchased 75 acres adjacent to the agency. We've engaged in an engineering firm to design a residential drop-off center, a new administration building, with the hopes of turning the existing administration building into an educational center, an environmental educational center, and also to expand our compost. I had a conference call with them last week. They sent over some preliminary plans that we went over, made a few changes, and what they're going to do now is present to the board of directors at the end of this month on their proposed site plan. Whether or not any of it or all of it goes through, I have no idea. But they're gonna come up with some ballpark numbers and we'll see which way the board wants to go. They may wanna do one piece, none of it, all of it. I'm not sure. I think the board wants to do at least the compost, I think. And I stress, I think. I don't wanna speak for the board. But it seems like all five members seem to be that. It seems to be an important topic for them, at least at this point. That could change once they see the numbers, of course. But I'll know more at the end of this month after the engineering firm does their presentation. I think that's it for all the big projects.
I have a quick question. Yeah. The Flatbush Avenue. Your entrance on Flatbush, there's something going on across the street there.
They leveled all the trees.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I had heard through the grapevine that it's going to be an auto repair shop. But I don't know.
It's huge.
Yeah, I don't know if that's don't quote me on that.
Okay.
Because I heard it from someone that just said, they heard it was going to be an auto repair shop.
Interesting.
And I said,
whatever it is, Dennis Doyle should know, right?
Yeah, or the town would definitely know.
Just cleared all those trees out of there.
Yeah.
So. Looks nice, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure. At least that's what I was told.
Okay. I wondered if that was somehow connected with you all.
No, not connected with us in any way.
I have a couple questions. One is that the Solid Waste Planning Commission and others made comments, and they were sent to Cornerstone, to the consultant. And then the consultant wrote responses.
Mm-hmm.
Has the board done anything in response to the responses? I kind of lost track. I was trying to keep track of what was going on with that. So did it go directly? I know it went from Cornerstone to the board, but were there any changes from the board to DEC?
No.
Okay.
The board concurred with the Cornerstone's responses, and then it was handed off to DEC.
Okay.
Yep.
The other thing is on the 75 acres, I don't know how much of that is wooded. I know there is a nice buffer, but is there open space beyond, do you think, wondering if it's a potential solar site, if there would be room for solar once there's, you know, all of the other needed areas are developed. I'm just, because 75 acres is a large.
A lot of it is, there's ravines in there, so you couldn't put any.
That goes down to a lake down there too, right? Down below?
The lake is off to the, as you're entering the fire training center, that's off to the right. Our property is off to the left. That's off Ulster Landing Road.
Right.
We have one sliver that comes right alongside the fire truck.
No, but what I'm referring to is when you cross the bridge, if you're crossing towards Kingston, crossing the Kingston, right, if you look to the left, there's that lake that sits down there. It's got a duck line. Isn't that right behind you?
Yeah, that's not on our property.
It's not where you bought?
No. No, we bought up next to the road. Actually, you ever been in our facility?
Yeah,
many times. When you first come in and you make that left.
Yeah, go straight.
You go straight, and just before the office, that's where our property line started. That was all a right of way, and that parcel was 52 acres. So we purchased that parcel.
Part of that stone house.
No, the stone house is privately owned. We actually own all the way around it.
That property was part of that, right?
Yeah. No.
Oh, no.
No, that was owned by Myron's.
Oh.
Remember Myron's? Myron's owned that 52 acre parcel. And that was for sale for years. We ended up purchasing that. And then there was a 24-acre long, narrow strip that bordered our property on one side. There's 52 acres on the other side, and a fire training center on the other side, and it goes straight down to the Ulster Landing Road. That we purchased off an attorney out of New Jersey, and it was just a cold call. I found out who owned the property, and I called him up. He said, "Want to sell?" I said, "Yeah, sure, I want to get rid of it." That's how it worked. So that was 24.
So you're to the right of your driveway, then, that property, right up to 32?
Way up to 32.
From 32 back to the right, your driveway, you're on the right side now instead of the left.
We're on both sides.
Right, because essentially now you go in, you make the left, your facility is to the left side, essentially.
Yeah, when you go down that street.
So you're going to be on the right side now.
To the left. Just before you get to the office, there's some boulders.
Right.
That's where our property line used to start. We were totally built out on our 32.
So now you're going to the right side of it, is what I'm trying, facing that way. That's where you're talking about.
As you pull in the driveway, now we're on the left and right side of the driveway. That's 52 acres.
Gotcha.
And then the 24, as you make that bend, if you were to look to your right, is a swath that goes all the way down, and it borders the fire training center all the way down Ulster Landing Road. So, but there is level area up there, man, if for a solar farm, if you ever wanted to.
Yeah.
The only thing I would be caution about that is if we do put a compost
mm-hmm.
portion up there, we want to keep a nice buffer of woods around it for odor control.
Yeah.
If you wipe that out, then you may end up with a lot of complaints with people on the house.
No, I heard about the buffer. I was aware of that, and I think that's really important because we have had, you know, some comments. So I happen to think compost smells good, but
there's two proposed sites on that amongst parcels for the compost. I asked the engineer when they site, I said, do you use a windrose? And they did. I don't know if everybody knows what a windrose is, but it shows prevailing winds. And they did. And their ideal spot actually is down on that long swath of that 24 acres. There's an old clay pit down in there. It's not quite level anymore, but if they were to level it off, that's the best spot actually for odor control when you look at the prevailing winds, because actually it would blow right over the fire training center, and I don't think they're going to have much of a worry about it. But then it would blow back onto our property eventually, and then eventually by the toll booth, but that's really far away. Right now we're right next to the toll booth, and you do have issues. So we want to move it on the other side of the property. The second best location is up further up where it's level. Up in that area is another potential area where you get a little closer to the homes that way.
And related to the agency, because it's been a cooperative effort between the agency and a few legislators and a couple other waste experts, tomorrow afternoon we have a Climate Action Through Zero Waste forum over at SUNY New Paltz, which will also, please pass those around. And that will include a presentation by Judith Enck on Beyond Plastic. She's become quite an expert on plastic, and also followed by the students at SUNY New Paltz will be reporting on their own research. I think a lot of that is on microplastics. And prior to, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, is a tour of the SUNY New Paltz Peregrine Dining Hall, which is really a model for any college or university or any place with a large cafeteria. They really are close to approaching zero waste because everything is either reusable or compostable, and including when the students take out the food from the cafeteria, it's in a reusable green box. They bring that back, they get a sterilized one, and they take the next meal. And so when you look in where they're scraping their plates, it's 100% correct, and that just goes right out onto the loading dock into a toter and gets picked up a few times a week. So it's a great model, and I think hopefully people will come see that, especially businesses that are going to be facing the ultimate implementation of the food waste composting law. So people are welcome to participate. And also relating to zero waste, we're working with some of the agency staff and some of the people on this flyer we took a training in zero waste with Zero Waste USA. And we're going to be creating a PowerPoint and hopefully ultimately a zero waste plan for Ulster County. And I know that staff is, you know, has a lot of responsibilities way beyond that. But, you know, even if other people do a lot of the work, if they would just read it for input and yourself as well. Okay, I think we're ready to deal with resolutions. Any more questions or comments?
This month's National Geographic, a great article on the end of trash, totally.
Yeah.
Talking about. Even Dow Chemical on the inside has a huge article right on the inside about how they're going to put plastic into roads and build buildings out of plastic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
I wonder.
Something, you know, very current.
I don't know that you can get National Geographic articles online. I'm not sure. But I'd like to at least maybe we could just make a copy of each of those articles. Thanks. Okay, I think we are ready for resolutions. Thank you, Tim.
Okay, thank you.
And I don't think it'll be long to get to yours. I can move it up. But so the first resolution is confirming reappointment of alternate member to the Fish and Wildlife Advisory Board, Fish and Wildlife Board. And the appointment is for Thomas Raffaldi of West Hurley for now through December 31st of 2022. This is resolution number 89. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. All right. The next three resolutions are reappointments of members to the Environmental Management Council. That's resolution number 90, resolution 91, and resolution 92. Would people like to address them separately, or do you think we can block them?
It's all reappointments to the Environmental Management, right?
Unless there's any concerns? So let's block resolution 90 through 92.
Make a motion. There's some great resumes here.
So is there a motion to block?
A motion to block?
Yeah, motion to block these resolutions.
Yes. Second. All in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Motion to approve resolutions number 90, 91, and 92.
So moved.
Mary?
Aye.
Second. Get another voice in the mixture. all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. All right. And there are three to sign. Resolution number 94, opposing a new power plant at the former Danskammer Energy site in Newburgh in Orange County. Tracy, do you have any?
Make a motion for discussion.
Make a motion to discuss.
And a second.
Sorry.
Okay.
So, I think everyone's aware of this issue, and we had quite a lot of speakers at last month's meeting. Over the course of the end of last term into the beginning of this term, a lot of people have reached out to me and to others to sponsor a resolution like this. I feel very strongly there has been some discussion about whether or not it's our purview to weigh in on another municipality's approval process. Just for myself, in this case, I think it's critical that we weigh in because the air and the water don't know strict boundary lines, and what's being proposed would certainly have an impact on our constituents as well. With that said, I have gotten some feedback on the resolution, namely a desire to see language that speaks to a just transition for workers, and that's something I certainly embrace anyway, and I'm happy to add it as a whereas to the resolution. And also, if I take the time to do that, I'd like to recognize the fact that we in Ulster County have declared a climate emergency. That was toward the end of last year, and that resolution brought forward by the Saugerties contingent is a resolution that I strongly support and believe in, and had very strict words about our commitment to doing all we can as leaders of this community to draw down on greenhouse gas emissions, etc. So if I take the time, which is something I want to talk to this committee about, to make that change, I would also reference that that resolution and this county's commitment to having an impact on a climate emergency. So I'd like to, I'd like to hear feedback from the committee, and that's why I'm here.
Just want to add one other thing before, and that is that Legislator Petit, who couldn't be here this evening and is excused, apparently sent some additional language that she would like us to consider, but I've looked on both my computers. None of us can actually find it.
I saw the language.
Okay. You saw the language?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, what I saw was the request. I didn't see the actual language. It was a request to add in...
all power plants on the roof.
No, it was one specific.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to remember the name of it.
It's a Duchess. The Duchess. Cricket.
That's the one. That's exactly the one.
What was it? Oh, Cricket Valley?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find it here, because...
Do folks know what Cricket Valley is? It's another gas-fired plant that quite a few years ago, actually, went through a permitting process, has, as far as I know, received all its permits and is pretty far along. It is a gas plant, given the fact that the state law, that the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act is now state law and has very strong goals for reducing gas emissions, et cetera. I think that, I understand why Legislator Petit would be suggesting that.
I have the email if you want me to actually say
please.
What it says. Some of the attendees from our February 18th legislative session have asked if we would include Cricket Valley and all new fossil expert fuel infrastructures in the Dance Camera resolution. Thoughts?
So I will reach out to Legislator Petit. I personally support that, but I'm concerned that putting it in this resolution would actually...
It's overreaching.
It's not even just the overreach. It would actually sort of dilute this resolution. This resolution is very specifically focused at Dance Camera. And some things that I just want to bring up and remind the committee is that, and some things that have resonated with me, I thought a lot of the speakers last month's session were very eloquent and concise and pointed in their comments. The CLCPA and the reality of that law and what that means for the life of this plant, if it were approved, is something worth considering. Al and I spoke about it. The idea that it would essentially be obsolete by law in a very short period of time. But I think back on Superstorm Sandy and the fact that this plant, what's proposed is a new plant next to the existing plant, but the existing plant was hit by Superstorm Sandy and damaged to the point of having to be shut down for 2 years, at which point it went bankrupt and went through a series of sales and was put back online as a peaker plant. What's being proposed now is a new plant that's going to be operated 24/7, whereby we have these concerns about what that means to the air quality and to any and the idea of Superstorm Sandy resonates to me with what it might mean to the water. I don't think any of us
didn't
believe
affect,
that.
I don't
we're
think it affected the last
it didn't,
one, did it?
But that, yeah. But that's it didn't to my knowledge. But the concern of building another plant right on the water while we're being told that. By law, it's essentially going to have to be shut down.
I understand your concerns with that, and I can agree to a point. However, the primary fuel if it was oil, mm-hmm. or coal or something along those lines, which is a tangible product that would end up in the water and clearly would destroy it and the ecosystems. Natural gas is lighter than air. That's not going to happen. I don't care how high the water runs. It comes through a pipe. It's going to evaporate into the air. Not saying that's a good thing, don't get me wrong, but I mean that would be the worst case scenario. It would be a massive pipe break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a lot of rhetoric on both sides of the issue. I've been learning a lot about it. I'm not saying I'm against this resolution. I'm saying that I think we need to pare down the rhetoric. If it's down based on honest facts, then I'm okay with it. But when I read about the dance camera is going to be using fracked gas and all this, which is BS, because it's using natural gas and it can come from any source. We have a resolution before us to try to ban fracking in New York State, and I can understand that and I can agree with that. However, all natural gas does not come from fracking. And to say or to imply that it does is really disingenuous to it. That's one of the things. The other things is that all the methane that's being released into the air by this plant operating is not entirely true, because the gas, which is methane, natural gas mostly, is being burned. Its byproduct is not methane. Now, I'm not saying that I'm totally for this whole idea of putting it down there anyway, because honestly, it should be a solar, or you're on the water, use a hydro plant or something like that in place of that. I'm just saying I don't buy into a lot of the reasons that people are coming out against it. I mean, okay. If you want to come, you know, that's my whole thing. I mean, I'm...
Anybody else? I have a couple comments.
I just wanted to support what Legislator Bartels was saying about the proposed language change from Legislator Petit. I also think that it would water down this resolution, and the word "all" always makes me a little nervous. Right. Like, what does that actually mean? So
I agree with that.
Let's not add that kind of language to this, which is very specific.
I wanted to keep it very specific, yeah. And I'm open. If you have specific concerns about the language that's contained in this document, I'm open to adjusting. It's clear that Ulster County has established a record of leadership on environmental issues, which is why I think even the gentleman speaking for the city of Newburgh council person came to ask for our support to back them up. I think that, just the fact that we declared a climate emergency so fiercely and committed to looking forward, to me, not to weigh in on the proposal to go backward in my mind with the introduction of a fossil fuel plant when the state's just enacted laws saying that will need to be taken offline in the pretty
and
near
I agree
future.
And that's what I'm getting. I agree.
Which is why I think we can take a stand, and I think it matters. I think it matters that we take a stand, but I'm willing to adjust this.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do. And I spoke with Mary about the concern about a just transition. I'm more than happy to include language that recognizes a just transition. I believe in it, that recognizes the right for us to acknowledge the need to retrain workers in this.
Well, yeah, there's a lot. The Orange County officials were concerned, or one of the concerns they brought up is the amount of labor, the amount of people that they need to build this thing, the amount of jobs that it's going to create in building it and operating it and stuff.
Building it
is temporary.
Yeah.
Let's face it. I mean, and the way they're building things up, it happens so fast, it's like within a year or two it's done, then those people are on the unemployment line again.
Yeah.
So that's not my issue so much as, yes, I want to see new jobs everywhere. The whole state needs jobs. Let's face it, people are leaving the state left and right. But that's not my main issue with this. My issue is, I'm not saying I'm for it. Like I said, I just want to see it be a real and an honest opposition to it, for it's on its own merits of the fact that it is a fossil fuel plant, mm-hmm. and we should be transitioning to non-fossil fuel ways of powering of energy, whether it be solar, water, or wind. Not because of the perceived negative effects that it may have being burning natural gas, just based on it could be better.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
It does. I'm hearing you.
Dave, I see your hand. I wanted to make a comment myself, and then I'll be glad to call on you. What I'd like to do between now and the next meeting is send around an article from National Geographic that really talks about the fact that the fracking of, that the process of fracking to get the methane has caused a global spike in methane, and this is not an environmental organization so much as I think National Geographic is considered pretty objective, and so when people use the term frack gas rather than natural gas, when there were pockets of natural gas, it didn't have to be fracked. That's the difference. And now there are few, if any, pockets of natural gas left. So most of the methane is obtained by fracking. So I just want to send that article.
Yeah, around. I'd like to read it because I've also, it does come out when they drill for oil, they usually hit natural gas first. And that's usually the product that comes out of the ground before they get to the oil. Usually, typically.
Uh-huh.
That's what everything that I've learned from it. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, they're not fracking in New York. We've got to hope not. I mean, we're not supposed to be. And I understand that.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying I'm not saying I don't like the process of fracking any more than anybody else does. It would be great if they could do it without using all those nasty chemicals, you know, if they were just doing it with water, but they're not. And nobody seems to know why yet.
Dave, you were in the queue.
Yeah, I have one comment on the substance, and this is the reasons that we're stating, and a comment also on the execution clauses. On the substance, one of the things that strikes me about Dan Scammon, when I was at Riverkeeper, we litigated against Dan Scammon primarily because of the fish kill issues. But setting that aside, and this is going to this is closed cycle cooling; it's not going to have significant fish issues. For those of you who've never seen Dan Scammer, it is a industrial behemoth right on the shores of the Hudson River. It was built in right around 1950. It looks like something out of Dickens, and we would never do something like that now based solely on the scenic impacts. Mm-hmm. I looked at the scenic viewshed map in the application. That's going to be visible all the way down past Newburgh, I think all the way down to the jog in the river at West Point. Mm-hmm. I think maybe 10 miles going south and several miles going north. And so I would suggest putting in, this thing is going to be viewed on the Hudson for anywhere up to X number of miles, up to, let's say, 10, 12, 15 miles. I would suggest a comment saying that just for scenic land use, quality of life issues, that it's time to deindustrialize the Hudson River waterfront rather than reindustrializing it. And it's worthwhile to point out that unlike the previous generations of power plants, since this actually is not using Hudson River water, this is going to be purely air cooling, close to like a radiator, they can put it anywhere. Again, begging the question whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, putting it on the Hudson River next to the
really
existing behemoth is just a questionable
point.
Thing from my perspective. I would suggest
that's a really good point that I hadn't thought of.
And there's precedent for that with the cement plant that was near Hudson.
This is just a thought, not in a different century and a different series
exactly.
of policies. On the resolves, I have this comment.
Those were deep water ports, though.
The resolves, and I would suggest that if you actually read the wording of the resolution clauses, it's actually fairly weak, and you dissipate some of the force of what you're trying to do. There are three resolves. The first one is that we're taking a stand opposing Dan Scammon. That stands on its own and is fine. The second one resolves to inform the governor and the siting board to, quote unquote, consider the concerns stated herein. Mm-hmm. So you're asking them to consider what you've said. I would suggest that if that's what you want to, and by the way, of course, the siting board is the agency with jurisdiction. They're the
yes.
permitting agency. If you want them to consider what you're saying, and before I get to that, the third resolve tells the clerk to send it to a bunch of actors and agencies, but not the siting board, to the Orange County Legislature, the governor, the Assembly and Senate majority leaders, the Assembly and Senate ECC chairs, and also county people, not the siting board. I would suggest with those two, second and third resolve, if you want them to consider your comments, number one, the siting board ought to get it and consider
yeah.
them, and number two, the most direct way to do that is to send them a letter with your comments laid out, and that becomes part of their record. They'll have to have, essentially it'll go into the public hearing. I would also point out, you probably don't want to do this, but I'll just say for the record, the siting board invites people to join the process by filing essentially petitions to intervene, and it will provide money for that. So if you really care about these in that level of depth, you can, you know, if this is important to us, you can file a petition to intervene and get money. I don't necessarily want to go there, but all I'm saying is I would suggest that we, if I was representing an environmentally conscious group of people that wanted to deal with this, I would make sure that they got our comments directly saying, we care about this, and here's why. Siting board, listen to this. And oh, by the way, if you don't do it, I might file a motion to intervene.
Tracy, will you bear with me while I give a direct response, and then you're next?
Yes.
In the queue.
Yeah, I want to give a direct response too.
Just so you know, first of all, the siting board has already determined. I don't think there's any more room for intervener funding. Those applications were filed and awarded. Andy Bicking was here from Scenic Hudson, I believe the city of Newburgh, and there are other interveners that Article 10 allows for intervener funding, which is very unusual, you know, in terms of environmental legislation. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that the siting board, after receiving the Danskammer application, did write back and say it was deficient for a number of reasons, calculations and so forth. But one of the main deficiencies was that it didn't include the context of CLCPA. So they have to go back and adjust their or modify their application to take that into consideration. I just want to be sure people were aware of that. Tracy, you want to figure out what we're going to do with this?
Yeah, I mean, I can get together with David on that. If it's still relevant for the siting board, that's an obvious oversight. I think the comment on the Hudson River scenic viewshed impacts really resonate with me, and it's very powerful, and I think it should be included. I mean, just as on a personal note, as an aside, I've lived here for 25 years, and it was just, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago that I had the opportunity on a very, very, very small boat, I mean, like half the size of this table, to go from Newburgh to New York City and back. And let me tell you,
you were nuts.
Yeah, it was awe-inspiring. I mean, it's really a different way to see the river. I see the river from the air all the time. I see the river from the road all the time. Being in the river and seeing it was really, really moving and remarkable. And it should be protected. It's a valid point and should be included. To Al's point, and I would like to take this month to get together and hear anyone else's concerns, but I think I hear your point, and I think what's most important is that, again, we've demonstrated leadership as a county. We've committed to declaring a climate emergency and all that means in that very well-worded resolution. And I think this is an extension of that. And if there are small details or big details in this resolution that we can transition to have you feel comfortable, the main point for me is for us to say that we oppose a new fossil fuel facility in New York when we have passed the CLCPA and we're committed to renewable energy. Add to that that it's on the water in a horrible place that just adds that insult to injury. But I'm committed to working with anyone who wants to work with me to make this as inclusive as possible and to get the most support, because while a letter is important, when we pass a resolution, and we've seen this over the course, I've certainly seen it over the course of my time and the debate over memorializing resolutions, which we tend to spend a lot of time on, but as you saw last month, our constituency come to us asking for us to be their voice through these kinds of motions, and that's what finally moved me to act, because I was supportive of it when it was put in before, but I finally thought I want to be able to be an extension to all the people who came and spoke, and I know that they're just a small portion. I came to committee today to talk to all of you. I didn't bring, I don't think they even yet know that there's a resolution. Otherwise, this room would have been filled
Absolutely.
With 50 people asking this committee to pass it. I think if we can take this month to make it better and to make people feel comfortable with it, that would make me very happy. I mean, I think there's the, there's the votes, but I'd rather have more votes.
The one thing I want to add, just to support what you were talking about, the workforce redevelopment or workforce retraining, is Ulster County's commitment to green jobs. Mm-hmm. And to, I think it's such a big key issue that we've been talking about in the county, so let's actually say this is a huge commitment to us and this is what we want to see, you know.
Exactly. I will make sure to put that in too.
One just small thing, the town of Saugerties.
It's a town, not the village.
I
was going to ask you that.
It's not the village. I wrote down that we have the town of Asobis,
the
town of Saugerties.
I don't know, but I know
the
town.
And there's also the town of New Paltz. I'll fact check it. I saw that mistake in terms of the village. I don't know.
Keith goes to city for that matter. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I'll get that correct. That part's easy. I'll get that corrected. And then what I'd like to do is send a redline version around, start with this committee, and if I'm happy to sit down and meet with anyone in person, but I'd like to do it sooner than later so we know where we're at well before next month, if that's okay.
Thank you for your leadership.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you about it.
Thank you all. It's going to make it better. I appreciate it.
So I'd
like if someone would make a motion to postpone it to next month.
I move that we postpone this until next month.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Aye.
motion to postpone passes. Yes.
I'd just like to say that the Environmental Council has had many discussions with regard to this, that the consensus is exactly where you're going on this. However, just to point out, and you're, I don't know what you call it, we get regular feedback because we've asked for them from Dan Scammer, from the whole project.
You're on the, distribution list?
Yes. So we get updates every month on that. One thing that we did push for, because the initial studies didn't have anything to do with sea level rise or any climate change that may occur on that. That's already a flooding spot. And so that's now been changed. They are going to have to review that whole process as well. I can tell you that while we agree that we don't want a new plant there because it's fossil fuel and so forth, we're really concerned about having the old plant still sit there. Mm-hmm. It's horrible view shed.
It's terrible.
If it stays there, are they going to, I mean, it's already using some natural gas in very old technology that is very inefficient, and are they going to bump it up? And they're still drawing water out of the Hudson to cool it.
That should definitely be
There's a big old ash heap at the top of the hill from the old coal that they, in the proposal, they were going to make that a landfill, close it off, and landfill it and really close it off. If that doesn't go through, then you've still got these other things just still sitting there, and that ash is still sitting there on top of that. So I just point that out.
Thank you.
That really should be decommissioned and removed.
Yeah, Emily has
that should be part of the proposal.
Yeah.
Not that it's been
a step at a time.
Well, I'm saying not that that's in, but it still should be.
Go ahead.
I have been told by the dance camera owners that they are not allowed to shut down the old plant unless they build the new one.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, and I don't know how long that's true for.
Probably
it's
will be.
One thing they're putting out there.
Not allowed to?
Because it's required for
the peak
capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I assume that's something that the ISO does for periods of time, so maybe they're not allowed to shut down for the next 2 years or something, I'm not sure.
I would also check into, when you pay your electric rates, you actually pay two different charges, one for sort of the electricity pay as you go, but there's also sort of a facility rate that, in other words, for the availability. People have been probably paying for the availability of the dance camera for 50 years,
yeah.
60 years now. And so that may be, once you've been paying all this money, I'm just guessing, I would check into that.
I don't think it's
I have some clarity on that. Several years ago, FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, passed a special capacity zone, which is called the Lower Hudson Capacity Zone, which at that point Dance Camera was closed. It was considered by the New York ISO, the independent system operator, to be a mothballed facility, and it wasn't counted in the reserves when they have to ensure reliability. But after FERC passed that, it gave Wall Street an extra incentive to bring this plant back online as a peaker plant. So they get paid, and I'm not going to say, because the recorder's off and I don't trust my memory, but mucho dollars just to be in reserve, and I'll find out the number and make sure that you have that. And then also get paid a premium during the less than 5 days a year, typically, that plant operates at peak demand. So, you know, my feeling is that there was enough information about the climate crisis that FERC should have, if they were going to put an extra incentive to bring capacity into the lower Hudson, which is a bottleneck between large amounts of surplus energy in western New York and northern New York getting down to New York City greater metropolitan area. So they wanted to put more capacity in this area. Had they said more the incentive would be for renewable energy with storage and efficiency, that would have been a real boon to this area. But they incentivized any form, and now FERC recently passed something that complicates it even more, and I don't want to get too far afield from the actual resolution, but I want people to understand that this plant was closed and in 2012 after Superstorm Sandy, and brought back online after 2014 when the lower Hudson capacity zone was put into place, and that's what incentivized this. And I will send around the numbers because they're pretty shocking how much Dance Camera Energy is getting paid to be in a state of readiness. But that was, the readiness and the issue of reliability is under the purview of the New York ISO. So we're going to postpone this. We'll move on now to resolution number 95, which directly relates to fracking.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Okay, and this is the resolution supporting New York State Senate Bill S-6906 and the New York State Assembly Bill A-9678. Imposing a permanent fracking ban in New York. Right now, there's a moratorium that's been in place for several years, the goal of these bills is to make that permanent. Any discussion on that?
Sounds pretty straightforward to me.
Mary, any concerns or comments on
how long has the moratorium been going on?
I don't recall anybody.
I don't remember what.
It may even say so in here.
About 5 or 6 years.
2014.
So we're just extending it.
It got the governor banned it, but it wasn't sending it anymore.
The only question that I had is in the last resolve, who we're sending it to. So I think I understand, but I'm also curious what you'll say about it. Orange County legislature's in there. So we're talking about New York State. Why are we sending this to Orange County?
Are you looking
at... I think that's a typo.
I'm looking at Resolution 95.
95.
It does say.
That was
a
catch.
Yeah. I was wondering that.
Okay. Because I don't think we should specify one county out of the 60...
Yeah.
How many counties? 62 counties? We have in New York State.
That's a good
catch. So
I I don't understand either, and I am the sponsor.
Okay. Unless they just copied that out of 94.
Yeah.
Where did you see that?
The last resolve.
The clerk of the legislature supported copies.
So can I can amend, we can amend the committee. I would like to amend the resolution number 95 to strike the words leave the two, but the Orange County Legislature.
I think they should.
I was wondering if you would want to, in addition to sending it to the Assembly and Senate Majority Minority Leaders, Speaker, I'm not sure that's there, and the Environment Committee Chairs, do you want to send it to our representatives in Ulster County?
That sounds like a good idea.
It says all Ulster County elected Assembly members and senators.
Okay, good.
Did we
get the speaker? You need a second for the
amendment. All in favor of the amendment to strike?
Aye.
Mary?
Yes.
You're sitting at the other end of the table.
I'm sorry. That's it. And I'm distracted, so I'm sorry.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion to amend carries. And on resolution number 95.
I move that we approve this as amended.
As amended?
Second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Pardon? Resolution 95 carries.
And Tracy.
No. Okay. <kidding.
laughs> And now,
like
one
was
more
about.
We'll get to you.
Excuse me, ma'am.
You had your chance to move it up.
No, it's right. It's fascinating. I like listening to it. And on a personal note, I can see the dance camera from my back porch. So.
Oh. Wow.
Can you really?
Yeah. And she can. And,
do they at least light it up for Christmas?
It's always interesting.
No, that orange
and
color.
Dave has
a dream about it.
Dave, yes.
Just another point of perhaps interest of a reference. There's a book that's out relatively recently called Blowout. Rachel Maddow wrote, it's very technical, but it's got a whole huge chapter on fracking, particularly focused on Oklahoma, but nevertheless, it's enlightening. So it's just background information.
Thank you. Eric. Resolution number 126, authorizing the chair of the county legislature to execute a payment in lieu of taxes agreement with Bluestone Solar Energy for solar energy systems pursuant to real property tax law section 487. And this is what I like to call a reverse pilot.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay.
Reverse pilot?
Reverse in the sense that most pilot agreements are payment in lieu of taxes, and it's lowering the taxes as an incentive to bring that business. These folks are exempt from taxes, and because of a NYSERDA recommendation, are actually sort of voluntarily paying taxes because they are in communities using the services. Mm-hmm. And we are getting more and more of these. And I want to say, it's looking to me like Saugerties is going to have more solar per capita and per square foot so far than any other municipality in the county, because I serve on Public Works, and they all go through Public Works, and you know, we've been getting several of these a month.
They have the real estate to do it.
Yes.
Am I right that we just passed one of these?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just passed one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Last month, yeah. So here's
the second one.
And they're coming in.
This is the second one, yeah.
Very
one
rapidly.
Yeah, that's great.
One month we had three or four. And my favorite, of course, is Quarryville.
Mine too.
I love the fact that we're getting monies in that we aren't necessarily,
This is kind of a no-brainer at all intents and purposes.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. And all in favor of resolution number 126?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Resolution carries. And now we're up to resolution 131, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement with the Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District for the 2020 appropriation. And did you want to make any comments?
Yeah, I could just give a quick update on...
I just think we need to move it.
Move it like in second for discussion.
I'd like to make a motion that we had discussion on this.
Okay. We have
you have a second?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So just a couple of quick updates from where we're at right now. We're just starting our new five-year agreement with New York City DEP. So that's the investment in the Shirkin Watershed Stream Management Program. This will be our third five-year agreement, and we just got the commence work order for literally yesterday. So that's up and running, and there's a substantial investment in that portion of Ulster County through the city's contracts. So there'll be a number of restoration projects geared at water quality improvement and things that will benefit the local community as well as New York City. And of maybe particular interest to this committee, we're starting a Hudson Valley carbon farming pilot project, which is in partnership with some of the other soil and water districts in the Hudson region. Mostly it's being administered through Dutchess Soil and Water, but we entered into an MOA with them. And we've identified, I believe, six farms now within Ulster County that will hopefully be participants in this pilot study to look at the ability to sequester carbon through on-farm best management practices. So that'll be pretty exciting. There's some educational component involved in that as well, so hopefully we'll get some press out.
How long is that project set for?
Right now it's only 2 years, so it's a little short in terms of trying to actually look at the changes within the soil itself. We will be using a pretty robust soil testing method from Cornell, cash model, to look at that. So if there is any change over the pilot phase, but hopefully this is something that would be able to continue, you know, in the future.
Is there going to be any financial incentive to the farmers that are
So I want to say through the agreement that Dutchess has with the, I don't know if it's through the state committee, but it's about $400,000 that's being invested locally. And, you know, of the five or six farms we've identified, you know, it probably ranges from a couple thousand to $15,000-$20,000 that the farmer would be eligible for. So it can actually cover the cost of the practice at no expense to the farmer, other than, you know, they'll have some in-kind commitments in terms of, you know, planting or whatever the practice might be. So kind of exciting and interesting to see how it pans out.
This is so important because we put a lot of focus on preventing emissions, but this is a way of drawing down and sequestering the emissions that are already up in the atmosphere. And I don't know if it relates to the bill that D.D. Barrett passed up in, I think, Columbia County. They also have a pilot, maybe similar.
Yeah, I actually saw Amanda LaValle from the Department of Environment this afternoon, and she mentioned her name, but I'm not clear on the relationship or if there is involvement or if this is something separate and new.
Also, last year, I believe, Cornell Cooperative Extension of Ulster did had a meeting or a series of meetings on regenerative agriculture and, you know, if there's going to be any public education about this, maybe to partner.
Yeah, I've been talking with Jared, the ED over there, and Jake from our office has participated with some of that, the CCE staff, through some of those workshops and stuff, so we'll continue to support that partnership. We like working with
them. That's very exciting. Really good work. Okay, so back to our resolution at hand, resolution 131, authorizing the agreement with Ulster County Soil and Water. Any other comments or questions? Dave?
The agreement specifies that the list of services to be provided is set forth in Schedule A.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've seen this with the Cornell agreement as well last year when I was legislative counsel and assigned it. Schedule A has a very, very thin statement of services. This all depends on how much the legislature wants to know about the specificity of where the $91,000 is going. I would say if you take a look at Schedule A, you're really not going to know. And so the question is whether that is a satisfactory explanation of services for you, or whether you want a little bit more detail. You know, it can go either way, but just as you can look at Schedule A and you don't know where the $91,000 is going, and I would suggest you may want to get more specificity on that. But Schedule A is located on, I think it was page 61 of the PDF.
Just to ask if we did ask for more information and postponed it, would that interfere with your budgeting, or you know, I just wonder what the impact of I think your point is very well taken, and I would like to see it fleshed out more. I'm just trying to figure out how to do that without.
If it was postponed a month or so, it shouldn't really have a negative impact on us.
Okay, and
I don't want to suggest that it's required. It's just a question of what you guys would want.
Did you want to
say anything? No, I'm just.
Here's schedule.
Everything just went blank on my screen.
Oh. Okay.
Being so frustrated.
I think just a budget, a short budget of here's the 91.
That was Schedule A,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, I was looking like for something else on here, okay. But I can't seem to bring it up. Look at this.
Would that satisfy you?
Stepping into your shoes, I might want to see like which streams, which projects they're looking at, and a rough, just at least a rough budget, because right now there's just nothing there at all.
Yeah, because right now it does sort of say four, you know, streams,
$5,000 on the
saw
killer, this farm, or something like that, and the specification services. That I would suggest that, but again,
and that way we can also talk about it too.
Yeah,
you know, we can be just more knowledgeable when we're telling people what we're funding. So,
I mean, having served on the board for a number of years, typically, and in the legislature, typically, the legislature's funding does not go for specific projects. It goes to help the overall organization. It may be the way that we have to contract, but the matter of fact is the organization leverages a small amount of funds from the county for a tremendous amount of work. I think that we can certainly have a conversation and should have a conversation about other things we might like to see the agency doing. I mean, the district for many years was very focused on stream restoration. Adam worked in partnership with the district, but soil and water conservation districts are empowered to do lots of things that one could argue that Ulster County's may or may not have been doing beyond what we've done. I think what would help this committee more than getting a specific on what the $91,000 is for is getting having a conversation with Adam about the full budget and the full look at all the projects that are currently under contract and that are proposed, and then also looking at what's authorized, what else is authorized by the state, and maybe having a conversation with Adam about what else the district might do. I mean, soil and water conservation districts are, for example, empowered to go on to private property and make repairs and do things that the county can't very easily do. I know I had a situation in my district where there was an incident on a property that was impacting neighboring properties and loosely impacting the road. And when I talked to it was on a county road, when I talked to the county, they basically said, it's only if it causes massive flooding and freezing that we can even do anything, because that's private property and we can't just go on private property. It would be deemed that we were doing a benefit for a private homeowner, whereas we can have agreements with soil and water. We just haven't traditionally done that, other than the one condition that I recall doing it was in the strainer situation. Remember when we had the strainer in the river that was causing drownings?
Yeah.
Legislator Parity passed a resolution to work with the Soil and Water Conservation District to clear the strainer, even though it might have been a temporary fix. It also might have saved lives for that period of time. So I would suggest beginning, if Adam's open to it, coming back to scheduling another meeting because in the old days, soil and water came more regularly, and starting a conversation with the district and understanding the full budget of the district and what all is the district is undertaking in the big picture, not just simply where the 91,000 mm-hmm. is going.
And we don't just hand them $91,000. You submit quarterly vouchers
yeah.
to us.
Yep.
And then we would see what we were spending the money on. I mean, in theory, we might not give them $91,000.
Well, in Schedule A, in number three, it actually says that there's a project is outlined in the firm's project plan.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the project plan?
Right.
So if we could just see what the project plan is, that would answer a lot of questions, I think.
I guess I'm even confused where that Schedule A came from.
It's part of the contract.
It's probably standard.
Well, do you think that's probably standard?
Yeah.
Several.
And we have two legislators on your board.
Yeah.
That's where
yeah.
Tracy.
Yeah. And we, in the past, like I was here in last October to talk to this committee about, I think we went over the budget then and some of the work that we were undertaking or looking to undertake in the coming year. So I'm more than happy to come back as much as you want to see me to talk about what we're working on, because I think we're working on some pretty interesting and
yeah, and I think to the extent that without confining you, but that Schedule A can indicate some of the scope of work, you know, some of the plan, other than just referring to the plan, but I think we'd like to see that too. As long as it's not going to interfere with your work between now and next month. I think if everyone's in agreement, I would entertain a motion to postpone resolution number 131 for 2 months.
I'll make that motion.
And know that we're fully supportive, but just really want more information.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So
all
we have
in favor?
Do we have a second? Peter.
I made the motion.
I just didn't. I'll second it.
All in favor of postponing resolution number 131?
Aye. So we'll see you.
Anyone opposed?
Good.
Thank you, Adam.
Now, is that scope something that you all have created, or would we have created? And is there going to be some dialogue then before next month on updating this? Do you want to reach out to me on that, or? I'd be reaching out to somebody.
Tracy, I think I'll talk to our clerk just to determine. Somehow I suspect that the scope is standard language that we created, and I think it's never been specific to a single project.
Yeah.
I'll talk to our clerk and see and have her reach out to you.
I would point out, I saw a similar problem on the
Cornell
thing. That was $350,000, and that was basically taken off of a page from their brochure or something like that.
It's interesting because you have the Schedule A, and you know, I read the Schedule A's, and mm-hmm. sometimes they're very, very detailed, and then other times they're a little bit more
those
vague.
Two particular
so, you know, if we're going to be entering the contracts and it says we're paying for what's on Schedule A, I want Schedule A to mean something.
Last year, I almost did. I was tempted not even to sign the Cornell Cooperative Extension contract because it was $350,000, and the Schedule A was just a page from the brochure.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll give $350,000.
Would the government allow that if you turned in your Schedule A with your taxes and
so
say,
I think improvement of that is probably a good step forward. However, we do it.
I think so too.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Any new business? Old business, let's see, Recycling Oversight Committee.
The original agenda also said there was an open seat on the Climate Smart Committee for a member from Energy and Environment, but happily Peter Criswell has been appointed to that open seat.
So
you still have an open seat on
still
recycling.
There is an open seat on the Recycling Oversight Committee. I thought
that was
and I thought so too. I thought I heard something about
that.
There's
a whole schedule conversation where he's like, "Oh, that'll fit into my schedule."
Sure, go ahead. I'll do it.
Was that public shame?
Another meeting. Just one more meeting. Go ahead. I'll do it.
Okay.
Thank you. And then Solid Waste Planning Commission has not met. The last time we met, it was to review the draft UCRA plan, and we made very specific comments, and I'm a little concerned that it's now with DEC, and it sounds like there were no changes, so I'm not sure that those comments were addressed other than the consultant answering the comments for the board. I don't know if the board discussed those answers or felt that I'm a little bit concerned that the purpose of the Solid Waste Planning Commission was to have three Democrats, three Republicans, and three agency staff plus an ex officio of the chair of the legislature to review the solid waste plan as it was being developed, so they didn't just have a separate process and sort of hand it over to the legislature as a fait accompli, but that there would be an interactive process. There was an interactive process, but I'm not sure how effective it is. And I'd sort of like some feedback in terms of, you know, should we reconvene the Solid Waste Planning Commission? Yeah, Tracy?
Well, the resolution creating commission was similar to the track commission was time limited. So
yeah.
So the commission essentially ended at the end of the year.
So it would need to be reactivated.
Right, it would need to be reconvened, or there could be an ad hoc group. I mean, the sitting members could meet to continue discussions, but if we wanted to formalize it, I think we'd have to, you know, reaffirm it through legislation.
And I think their terms may have just ended, but we'd have to look at the exact language of it.
What terms?
The terms for the Solid Waste Planning Commission.
I'm saying the Solid Waste Planning Commission lasted until December 31st, 2019.
Yeah. I think Vicki thinks that the term for those members just ended, that the commission didn't necessarily end.
Why don't we look into that between now and the next meeting,
let's clarify that.
Yes, please.
I would also point out that in addition to the concern about the actual language of the plan and how it was adopted through the process, if you recall last year and in the draft plan, there was contemplation of a very significant series of technology reviews going on in the next this year and next year.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the RRA's schedule is for doing that, but if it's going to be happening, we're already 2 months into this year, if they're going to be doing it, let's say, in the middle of the year, that's probably, I mean, this is really where they're going to evaluate the technologies and determine which, you know, where we're going to spend the next $25 million or plus. And so if that's something, that's really where the rubber meets the road, obviously, and so the legislature might want to renew its involvement for the purpose of checking out where we are, where we're at on a landfill or where we're at on anything else.
I think to inform our discussion about whether or not to consider reactivating or reconstituting.
Man, I just looked at it. I think Vicki's correct. I think it's the language says the term ending. So technically, it's the terms are up. So we would just need to make new appointments. The chair would just need to make new appointments.
Okay.
And the majority and minority.
But the other thing I would like.
Can I just quickly ask? All terms are up at the same time.
Yeah, it was
staggered.
A 1 year essentially.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Really, but the way it's worded, I mean, I'm the one who wrote it. But the way it's worded, it's the term ends in 19. So the majority leader could appoint three new members. The minority leader could. I mean, they could be the same members, but
right.
could make
yeah.
new official appointments.
I would just suggest if it's a limited time committee, that makes sense to have it be a limited.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's an ongoing committee, you want to stagger your terms.
Yeah, it was
meant
to be a limited time, but I think probably we should talk to the minority majority leader just about reaffirming the appointments so that if there is any final work or final.
And
since it got delayed with Tim's injury, I mean, that's part of what delayed the filing, is my understanding.
Yeah.
So We would have been in a different place had it been filed a month and 2 months earlier, potentially, which is the timeline that was proposed.
I also think that some of the people are no longer on the legislature. I don't recall who, but I think
at least Kathy Nolan.
Kathy Nolan and
somebody else.
Was Brian?
Brian.
Brian Waltman.
Brian
yeah.
Waltman, yeah.
So
one for each party, yeah.
I think I would request that we consider reappointing mm-hmm. so that that body does exist.
Yeah.
And
well, and it may be necessary. I mean, when it comes back from DEC, well, Tim said he's not expecting a lot of comments. There may be a lot of comments, so that committee should be prepared to weigh in, and the RRA members I'm assuming would be the same because those members are all still serving. So
yeah.
It would just be a matter of a new minority and a new majority member to be brought up to speed, which I think is worthwhile considering that we're still waiting to hear back. And
it is one of the biggest decisions that's going to happen
yeah.
in the next. You know,
yes.
I mean, it's
yeah.
huge, so you got
to
be.
Also, I'd like to, if they are releasing them, I've seen copies of the consultants' responses to public comment, and especially focusing on the comment from the Solid Waste Planning Commission. I'm not sure if those are public yet, but if they are between now and our next meeting, I think people should have a sense of what the comments and concerns were. And I don't know if the draft that went to DEC is public, but if it is, I think we wanted to have a look at that. And indeed, this is a 10-year plan. Now, one of the things that puts my mind at ease is the idea that if we develop a parallel zero waste plan, because I think one of the deficiencies, and I think we included this in our joint comments, but is that there was not enough emphasis on waste diversion, not enough specific detail. There was general language about waste diversion, but very not clear goals and not a real plan. But if you know the in a separate undertaking, we can develop a zero waste plan. The board of the agency has modified the language in the goals of the plan to say not just that a goal is waste reduction, but a goal is waste reduction to approach zero waste. So that language then could link to a zero waste plan. And, you know, zero waste sounds very pie in the sky, but it is very specific, concrete steps. Mm. And
it'd be great if we could even go a step further, as outlined in the Ulster County zero waste policy
exactly.
or whatever it is. You know,
exactly.
So that there's actually a spine.
Well, we also have a policy that was passed. So I think we're in on track for a very good plan with this, hopefully, what will become an amendment. Short of that, I don't know how much support we're going to be able to bring to the plan. I think we, you know, I'm both hopeful and a little bit concerned. So I do think it's important to reconstitute we don't have to make a motion on that. It's just discussion
yeah, we just
that will
we just have
get
to get the majority.
On.
It's the majority and the minority leader appointments.
Need to make
yeah.
appointments.
Okay.
We had started to talk about that just before I left, and I'm
yeah.
not sure what the status of those appointments are.
Okay, great. Do I need to do anything, or do any of the committee members need to do anything to ensure that happens?
I will. I'm going to try to get the comments from the RA to get whatever they submitted to DEC, and then I will talk to the majority minority leader and find out what their appointments are.
Okay.
And
great.
Get that committee. I would be shocked if you were not on it. So we will.
I think we would certainly advocate for all sitting members to stay that are currently in the legislature to stay on it, because there's a lot of institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
You've gone over the plan in detail, so
I can't imagine the leaders would put anybody else on there. But
we'll need to replace too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So on the Climate Smart Committee. Mostly what we did at the last meeting, we go around and do very interesting reports and network and share information, but we focused on a series of goals. So we essentially have a work plan, and I think those goals, we didn't take a formal vote on the goals, but there were a couple little tweaks, but I think we're ready to go, and I'd be glad to circulate those and share them with the committee.
We're getting a really good turnout at that committee, too.
Yes. Yeah. This room is filled. One of the goals is to get 100% participation by all the municipalities. Some of the municipalities are sending representatives and have not yet taken the pledge. And the opposite is true, that some have taken the pledge but are not sending representatives. There are five formally appointed members, but there are also, you know, it's a real opportunity for networking and sharing on a topic that is vital. So.
The other thing that, if I may add, the other thing I thought that was interesting that came out of it was, with the goal of getting all areas involved, there was a buddy system that was talked about, where one very strong community that was neighboring a community that wasn't signed on yet would kind of take that community on as a buddy and help identify people who are engaged in this conversation and try and shuttle them along in this process. And I thought that was a really smart idea that came up, so it was really good.
One other thing that comes to mind is also the idea of some of the people wanted to meet with the Ulster County Fair Board to see what they could do to, you know, approach zero waste and any other actions they could be taking around climate change, and maybe featuring regenerative agriculture, on-site composting, you know. Some legislators are already in conversation with the Ag Society, and we don't want to work at cross purposes, so we're going to try to work together. So when you're meeting with them, you know, let them know that
soon.
That we'd like to join that conversation.
I just wanted to, if I could just for a moment brag, I was trying to find the Facebook post, but the New Paltz Boy Scout troops just had their annual blue and gold dinner, and they made table decorations out of recycled materials. They were like trees and things, and they ended up at the end of the night, I forget how many people they served, but they had one bag of garbage that they recycled, reused, you know, they went out of their way to make sure that they, you know, they composted, but they were very proud, bragging about, they had a picture of their one little garbage bag that they had left at the end of the night, where normally, I guess in years past, they've had, you know, six or seven garbage bags at the end of the night.
One of the topics tomorrow is zero waste at community events, and the woman who's presenting manages the zero waste program at the Clearwater Revival, and you know, achieves like 90% waste diversion and recycling and everything. So, any other new business? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'd like to ask one quick question. And I should have mentioned this during Resolution 126. This a payment in lieu of taxes agreement? I know the payment in lieu of taxes agreement. A lot of of towns, our town, is struggling with this, particularly with new solar installations, and trying to decide whether to dismiss it or to accept it. And perhaps some background information to town supervisors on what you're doing here might be helpful to them, so that they have a little more background in some of the leeway that they have in dealing with this, because they're really struggling with it.
It's because, you know, the reason, from what I can see here, is because it's named the wrong thing. It's not really a payment in lieu of taxes. It's actually a payment in lieu of no taxes.
It's revenue in lieu of taxes.
It shouldn't be called a pilot. It should have some other moniker for it.
And but what happens is, like in our town, when the newest solar thing, they said no to the initial pilot. And then the solar, once it was approved, came back to them and asked them to rescind that. There's just a lot of push and pull on this whole thing.
I think a lot of it has to do with the individual town where it's being located. I mean, like the thing with Sargeys. I mean, the solar company's actually paying something that they were exempt from, which they didn't have to do. You know?
I have mixed feelings about it for that reason. I mean, it's like I'm happy to see it every month when they come up, because it says to me there's so much solar, but I also think the incentive was put there for a reason, to incentivize solar. And so I worry about the time when it becomes something that works to cross purposes, that isn't an incentive anymore, but it's understood that you're not going to get the approval unless you give this money. When the whole idea
it shouldn't be called, right, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it should be called a pilot, honestly, because it really isn't. You know, it's something different.
Nowhere near what it's based on the amount of kilowatts kilowatts, megawatts that
based
they're generating. And it's a formula that NYSERDA recommended, but it is negotiated with the school district and with the county, but there is still a tax break. You know, there is still some tax incentive. It's not 100%.
Well, it's also, it depends, like I said, it depends on the siting. Like, the Sargeys one was on a landfill, which...
What would be...
There was no taxes generated there at all prior to this. So now it's becoming a commercial endeavor, and it is generating taxes as opposed to the opposite. So I think that depends on where it's sited. And for that reason, I think the word pilot should be changed to something else. And for the very reason what both of you have said, it could be misconstrued later on into a way that we may not be too happy with. I can see how that could happen.
I was just on a conference call today with NYSERDA, and apparently there is some new plan that they're issuing to promote good siting, so that you would be reusing landfills and parking lots and marginal lands, marginal farmland, and preserving desired land like agriculture, our prime farmland and our forests, and that it would be an opt-in for projects up to, and I'd have to pull out my notebook because I don't keep numbers in my head very well, but I think for moderate size programs it would be opt-in, and for large programs it would be required, because we don't want to be doing more harm than good. And also, this was the president of NYSERDA and the key staff member, and they also said that they're going to be reevaluating interconnection, which has been a real problem. So, for example, town of Kingston, the old Jockey Hill landfill would have made a great site, but the cost for interconnection was prohibitive. NYSERDA, I think, is going to be working with the New York Power Authority and the utilities to develop a plan that will address where where should they extend lines so that that good solar siting can occur? And I was blown away because these are all the things we've been talking, many of us have been talking about and asking for, and to hear that we got through, and the president of NYSERDA was espousing things that, for example, Sina Cutson has been working on for a long time. So I think that really bodes well for New York's transition to renewable energy. And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor? And meeting is adjourned.
I make a motion that she makes the motions next month.
At 7:48.